Hey y'all, this is Will, the voice of Andrew, and well, guess who just got back today? Them wild-eyed boys that had been away. That's right, the Circus of Wayward Wonders is back in Escadar. How will the boys react to being in the same city as Mistress Dusklight? And what will Detrus do? Will Sven find someone new to bully now that the mayor of Aberton is miles behind them? The only thing y'all should be sure of is that it won't be long till summer comes, now that the boys are here again. Enjoy the beginning of a new chapter on The Heroes Die.
Hey gang, how we doing this week?
Just fine.
Oh, excellent.
Excellent. Good to hear you're doing fine. So I had a question for you, and It requires a little bit of a preamble, which is just that I read like an interview with a speed reader, and one of the things that he talked about was like, yeah, sure, I'll put a book down if I don't like it, whatever. There's plenty of good books out there. And one of the things he said that I found really interesting is that there is a good book or an interesting book on basically every subject, right? And I was like, oh, that makes sense. Like, I'm not really that interested in, I don't know, golf, let's say, but I will read the best book about golf. Probably not about golf swings, but like a narrative or a human interest, you know, story about golf or the history of golf or whatever. Like, there is a good book out there that could grab me about golf. And so the question is, it's a little convoluted, I confess. Is there a subject
We do well with these.
Is there a subject that you would like to read the best book in the field about that you don't really know anything about right now? So like an example for me would be like, I don't know that much about space-time theory, but I really enjoyed reading A Brief History of Time. So I'm not saying what is your brief history of time there? It's more like, what's the subject, right? Like theoretical physics is one where I'm never going to dig deep, but the best book in the field, I could get down with that.
I'm just trying to think of like a subject I don't know that much about.
Oh, you can talk to you. I know everything. It's like giving a gift to somebody who has everything.
Actually, Morgan, when I thought of this question, I did think of you because I don't think of you as someone who ever takes a shallow dive into anything. You're either off or turbo mode.
Yeah, no, that's correct.
That's true.
Yeah,
that either. Is why you're in my phone as Morgan 100 Mar.
It's not my favorite number.
Yeah. No, that's correct. When I get into a thing, I go very deep. Thank you.
I love that you are so you that you heard a compliment there.
Absolutely. This is 100%. I wish I could commit to anything like I commit Morgan enjoying something.
I can listen to Morgan tell me about his favorite things for like 6 hours in a row.
That's good.
Because he'll let
you. Do you guys want to pivot really quick? What I'm hearing is we have some time.
Yeah. These folks sound interested in League of Legends.
Well, Harold, where's your mind go when I ask you this question?
So my wife is an art historian, and I have very little background in art or art history. And so right now, actually, I'm trying to work my way through a book of art history about the Impressionist by, I need to look up.
You get very far in it. That's okay.
Yeah, not yet. Apologies.
I'll still reading the
editions. I'll put it in the episode description.
Well, it's written in Impressionist style, so yeah, it kind of takes a while. You have to like get a little further away from
walk,
it than normal.
Yeah, walk about 5 feet away, and then the words start making
sense. It just seems splotchy to me.
And so that was it, I think. Like, I would like to learn more about art history, and so I'm doing my best.
You're doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's funny. For Christmas last year, I asked a buddy of mine who I knew like took a fair few number of art history courses. He's a musician, but he took art history classes. I was like, dude, I got to read one book about this. What is it? And he gave me a book. It was the Mona Lisa Abridged, the Abridged Mona Lisa or something like that. It's sort of just like a 101 almost textbook about art history, you know, starting like 3,000 years ago. And just sort of working its way forward. I've enjoyed it thoroughly. And I realized I also know nothing about art history. I didn't take any classes in it at any point in my schooling.
I would do a fully world intersectional, the best book ever about human creation of religion. Like whatever the most holistic view of that that's ever been written is. mm-hmm. I would be curious to read. Because I've read books about, you know, like pieces, right? But if mm-hmm. I could get one that was like all of it and really think about like, why do we create these things? Like, why do we form into groups and unify around spirituality, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What does that, I think, is a really interesting question.
Cool. It's called the Bible?
It is. 100%. Yeah. Right? Yeah. And it's like, is it, to me, it's the question, right? Like, is that divine providence? Is that like a miracle? I don't know. I get to say the book, so I get to ask the question, I guess.
Yeah, no, 100%. Are you thinking from like an anthropological perspective?
Exactly, like, right? Yeah. Like it's not about prove or disprove anybody's beliefs. It's about like, how did we do this culturally?
Yeah.
I think would be interesting because cultures are so unique and interwoven.
Mm-hmm. In college, there were some like eye-opening books, but yeah, I don't know the one. But I remember like reading Durkheim for the first time and being like, oh. Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Oh, here it is. I get it. I see it all now. Ben, what do you want to know a little bit more about?
Mine, similar kind of, I guess, to the art history vein. Mine would be like the history of high fashion. It's, again, something I know next to nothing about. I know, you know, what current trends are and stuff in terms of what is currently fashionable and stuff. But like the evolution of the suit, I think, is like really interesting to see. Like, mm-hmm. not only the cuts, but like what is included in that suit and neckties and collars and like all of those little variations. I think that's interesting.
Oh, I love
that.
And
then that. Also just getting into like, again, the idea of like high fashion of like when it turned into like such a crazy industry and stuff. It's similar to like fine dining and stuff too, of like have very little point of access to it, but I can tell I'm interested in it just from like a, oh, people deeply care about this and it is absolutely a form of art or creativity and stuff. I just have never really cared about it. Like, yeah. And admittedly, like probably earlier, I like would think it was silly to care about something as like materialistic as clothing or as something as fleeting as food. So
100%, 100%. I would have been in exactly the same point. And now if someone's like, this is a book about the history of high fashion, it's super interesting, here you go, I would gobble that shit up. That sounds, yeah.
If anybody wants the wants this in live presentation, you can go to Richard's Fabulous Finds in Chicago, Illinois, and that guy will talk to you about this stuff for your entire shopping experience. It's
wonderful. Oh, that sounds fun. That sounds Jeez, fun.
Amazing.
Rudy? I was thinking about you today too, because Rudy texted me a YouTube link to a Tolkien scholar. And I was thinking about your deep dive into Tolkien that's been going on for, I mean, I'm sure longer than I've known about it, but years as long as I've known mm-hmm. about it.
And like, now I'm really getting into like the sort of scholastic side of it, because the stuff I finally, after all these years, have broken into his Christopher Tolkien's History of Middle Earth books, which is literally Tolkien's writing process over the mm-hmm. course of his lifetime and how the stories ended at the places they ended at. So that's kind of like my project right now. But I would say, like, I think this is a great question to ask, especially in relation to things that you find either concepts that are difficult or concepts that like you just like don't really like jive with naturally. And I mm-hmm. think that those are some of the most important things that you just need to like fucking deal with, because yeah. they're usually, I think, somewhat indicative of a part of yourself that you're ignoring. Mm. So for me, it would be definitely like any book on the mathematics and not like theory of relativity, that kind of equation stuff, but like literal, like really serious thoughts on arithmetic.
Like number theory, like math theory,
trigonometry, geometry, mm-hmm. like the mathematics of like space, like literal like bodies in space, mm-hmm. you know? I don't know anything about calculus. Like I never took a calculus class, never took a pre-calc class. I have no idea what calculus is. I just don't, you know? Yeah. So I would like to learn that, you know? And then like maybe something that takes mathematics into like kind of like the more theoretical, philosophical kind of spaces and stuff. But I think like, you know, for me, it implies a difficulty with starting somewhere and being able to stay steady enough to get to its end, which to me, I think kind of manifests in my relationship with the mathematics over the course of my lifetime, because the best math teacher I ever had was my trigonometry teacher in high school. And he basically was just like, every trigonometry problem is just a logic puzzle, and they are all solvable. You just have to be able to stick with the thought for long enough to get to the the end of the equation.
I've got a buddy who I would turn to with this question, and I will in the coming week ask him if he's got a recommendation for something like this. That was going to be my answer too. Was like number theory, because I don't need to be able to do it, but understanding what even the field is to a better degree is really interesting to me. Since I don't want to be a copycat, I'm going to go with geology. I think it would be really cool to, like, you know, read one good book about the Earth from start to now.
One book that, like, really rocks.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, Ben. Hero point, dude. That was good.
Pre-sesh. In the shoot around.
Oh, man. Merganser.
So actually, like, this question is really hard for me, because the way that my brain works is like, what are you interested in? Dive until you either know everything or you don't like it anymore. So it's really, really hard for me to think of something, because, like, I do kind of just, like, let my mind wander to whatever starts to fixate me. But I think, like, one of the only times I can think of where I did this thing was, like, I had a friend recommend me The Making of the Atomic Bomb. It's like a nonfiction book about, you guessed it, The Making of the Atomic Bomb. And I very rarely read nonfiction, nor did I think of myself as particularly fascinated by, you know, fission or the Manhattan Project or whatever. But the book was fucking fascinating, and I was super glad I read it, just because I was like, oh, man. I've heard of all these people, you know, I mean, Oppenheimer and Fermi and Niels Bohr and whatever, right? But they were all like names I vaguely passed over in like a 10th grade chemistry class or something. Mm-hmm. So I was very glad I read the book, because I was like, I didn't know like the story of it. And I remember being like, oh, I should read more nonfiction, and I don't. But yeah, stuff like that, super cool to me.
Oh yeah, I love that. Yeah, that's a pristine example of like, yeah, a good book in a field, and now I just have a little bit more knowledge and know a bit more than I did before. I think that like this sort of shallow dive into a given subject is something that people often turn to podcasts for instead of books. Yeah. And this is a podcast, and on this
podcast, not about books.
Oof. Not about books.
Are you calling us shallow?
No, I'm trying.
Our whole audience shallow.
No, I'm bridging.
Holy cow! Hi, this is Sam Guinan-Nyhart. In last episode, I made a few comments that I'd like to
So, your circus is underway to Escadar. Leighton, you know that performing in such a big city will require some degree of bureaucratic rigmarole. You got to get permits. You got to secure a space. You got to figure out taxes, fees, etc., etc. So as the circus in toto gets closer and closer to the city, you all make the decision to ride in ahead. Now, there are also quite a few rumblings and some nerves among the staff, among the circus workers, about going to Mistress Dusklight's home turf. So I would imagine that you bring the crew with you on this trip into Escadar.
Are you telling me we're not having a several episode logistics arc? Because you got me kind of excited.
Oh, there
he literally built his character for that. I don't know, like,
why else would I take lore legal in this campaign?
So yeah, you took lore legal, and we got to go exercise it. So the five of you, I imagine, Detris still being rather weak, are going to head into the city of Escadar as, once again, the harbingers of the circus.
Then Lizzie starts playing.
Boys are back in town.
Boys are back in town. So, as you approach, the coastal city rises up to greet you. Salt tinges the air, gulls cry and swoop overhead, and grand, colorful buildings make up the skyline. You catch glimpses of the harbor on your way to the city gates, ships coming in and out with the tides. And Andruk, you know that Detris will soon be on one of them, making their way back to the Brotherhood of the Holy Spirits. Within the city, your party makes its way through the myriad squares and markets, fishmongers hawking the daily catch, artists offering portraits, Some con artists may be doing some three-card Monty here or there. But it's a place where it seems like anything your heart desires, you can get for a price. Especially after all your time traveling around the backwaters of the island. Armed guards in navy blue uniforms with bronze badges patrol the busiest areas. And like Dickensian street urchins in rags dart in and out of the crowd. Maybe some pickpockets, maybe just grabbing spare change off the ground. It's an old city, and ancient buildings abut new architecture left and right, the styles from different eras overlapping constantly. And as veteran performers, you know it's good to touch base with local law enforcement. Layton, you know that the administrative heart of the city is Conclave Square, and you can take care of everything you need to there. And I imagine the party begins to make their way there. Is there anything that people are doing? Or is anyone getting... Stopping at a market. We doing lunch right now, or are we just going to the administrative part of the city? I
won't ever say no to lunch. But... Okay.
The professor runs over and just starts watching the three card Monty, being like, "Yes, yes, no, no."
I saw the queen.
I think Layton, as we like, are we horseback or foot, Sam? Or am I horseback? I guess. Or you can is it be that on, kind of street?
You can be on horseback. Yeah, these are. If you're sticking to main thoroughfares, that wouldn't be difficult.
Layton sort of canters around the square with Claude for a second and then just like pulls up in an arc and drops and is like, perhaps lunch is the best idea yet, Professor. Shall we discuss how we want to approach the authorities in Escadar?
I'm always happy to discuss how we should approach lunch. Authorities, yes, yes.
Wonderful.
So you head to a tavern not far from Conclave Square, which is where you know you're going to be going. It is a place that seems to specialize in fried fish. Coastal city, not super surprising. You can get some like eel pies there. Everybody can get a pint. It is a lively, happening place. And if you want to give me a gather information roll to sort of figure out how best to go about this as you chat with folks in the bar, you can go ahead. I'll take two from Flip.
Yeah, can I throw a society? And specifically, Sam, I'm looking for a way to get space carved out for us without speaking with law enforcement.
Okay. Yeah, you can roll. Give me the society check, yeah.
Okay. Fuck. Can't roll a skill check to save my life in this game. 15.
15? 15 is enough to know that law enforcement is the way to smooth this thing out. If you don't go through them, life is going to be a lot more difficult. But you also, with a 15... Actually, can I get a diplomacy check from somebody?
Sure. That is a 26.
Now, a 26 is enough. The professor just starts charming people at the bar, maybe doing a little bit of prestidigitation. Who knows how he works his magic? Oh, you pull out Rutherford and charming people. Doing a little bit of patter about the circus. How do we investigate it? You get the name of Endera Paldreen, who is the chief constable in this neck of the woods. And with a 26, that's a critical success. Put your head together with Layton, recognizing his reticence to go through law enforcement, and have learned that Endera Paldreen's reputation is one of being forthright and upstanding. Basically, in a system that in our world may feel broken, this feels like one of the good ones.
Layton, as a man that is a man of the world, I should say, and has had to slip out the back door of more than one establishment, the word on the street seems to be that Endera Paldreen is on the up and up when it comes to the enforcement of laws. Perhaps we need not worry about applying to them for a permit.
And I'll say this, too, as part of that flavor. That is a bit of a change of scene for the cops in this town. They have a history of, you know, being on the take.
Well, Professor, recently I learned that you also have a bit of a history with officers of the law chasing
Indeed.
You out. I know you referenced it there, but earlier I didn't know what to tell you when I found this piece from Donica. When I chased her down with Claude, she told me that you were on the run. I feel that I've held that back from you because
I have had a similar experience and I wasn't sure how I felt about yours. If you feel that this is someone that we can trust, though, I trust you. And I am willing to follow your lead into this conversation.
And the professor's taken aback by that piece of information. And the kind of happy-go-luckiness kind of leaves his eyes for a second. And he comes back and says, Leighton, my boy, as he tucks his kerchief into his pocket, I think I'm safe here, and I think you may be too. We can hold on to each other's secrets if you'd like.
I'm happy to have mine shared.
The professor says, very well, Leighton. I prefer you kept Danica's information between us. For the time being.
Understood. People may be looking for you. I don't believe they're looking for me. They believe I'm dead. But we can move forward, and I will keep your secret. You may feel free to share mine.
Hey, everybody!
What I think Reich is like,
gather information. More like giving information.
You're not going to believe it. Holy cow!
So,
do the rain thing.
Is the whole party privy to this conversation?
I think the two of us, because I rolled the society and Rudy rolled the diplomacy, my understanding was it was the two of us, but I'm happy to have said what I said, at least, in front of everyone.
I pictured all of you being in the bar and the two of you putting your heads together for just a moment and sort of touching base on this as y'all were the sort of primary people doing the rolling.
Because Leighton wouldn't have revealed that fact about Danica in front of everyone without Rudy's, without the professor's permission.
Can we say then that as the two of you maybe sidebarred yourselves, the cocktail well at the bar catches Eugene's eye and he says, oh, I'm going to catch up with you guys in a minute. I have some recon of my own to do. And he's going to goblin plop right onto the nearest bar stool to all the herbs and spices and mixing ingredients he sees. And then he's going to try and catch the eye of the bartender that to him looks like they know what they're doing the most and wave him down. Anyways, okay, that's what Eugene's doing.
Yeah, there is a bartender that looks like she knows what she's doing the most. Every movement is sharp. Everything is washed immediately after being used. Wearing like a waistcoat, kind of looks like they're almost in the costume of a bartender in a way that is just being pulled off instead of being terrible. And you catch their eye and they say, something for you.
Well, I have just landed here in Escadar for the first time, and I would love to take a sip on whatever sort of beverage you would recommend to someone first stepping foot in Escadar.
Oh, absolutely. I can certainly do that for you. What is your spirit of choice, or do you want to do a bit of a bartender's choice here? What do you usually fancy, or do you want something that I usually fancy?
My friend, you have my full trust.
Your full trust? Indeed. Indeed. She spins around, taps her lips, and then she goes to work. And she pulls down a very nice-looking rum. Rum in a glass bottle, which is very fancy here. Maybe they're all in glass bottles. This one looks really fancy. Who knows? Who knows? And then she runs her hand over a fruit basket, and she plucks up a juicy-looking lemon, a juicy-looking lime, dips her finger into a couple of pots that are in front of her, shakes her head, pulls another empty pot out, puts two of the ingredients from the ones that already exist into one, mixes them up, dabs it, puts it on her tongue, nods, and grabs a cocktail shaker, rum in, fresh squeezed lemon, fresh squeezed lime, and then you see her reach in to a jar of pickled beets and eggs that's sitting on top of the bar. Mm-hmm. And she goes in with basically an eyedropper and pulls some up and then boop, 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 drops that in, shakes the shit out of it, and serves it up in a coupe for you. And it's got this nice, like, blushy, rosy hue. And you take a sip.
Okay. Eugene's going to take a sip. And he closes his eyes and he looks up at her. And there might be a tear forming in the corner of his right eye. And he says, in almost a whisper, is this an Escadacquery?
She looks you dead in the eye and she says,
"That right there, be an authentic Escadakery, made in the home of the Escadakery."
Eugene reaches his little goblin paw across the bar. He has to lean up out of his chair to make it all the way to her. And he looks her in the eyes and says, "My name's Eugene, and it would be an honor to watch you make drinks for another half hour or so."
"My name is Moraine, and it will be a pleasure to put on a show for you."
And then she goes about working. And I think that you're right on. This is a bartender who it is a pleasure to watch. And Morgan, hero point for Escadakery. That was excellent.
Incredible.
That was excellent. Very, very good. Yeah, rum, lime juice, and simple. Just an Escadakery. That's good. That's fucking good. So yeah, that's what's going on over there. We've had the conversation. And does anybody else want to do something?
I think that Druk is feeling anxious because he has not yet decided whether or not he's going to be accompanying Detris on their journey back to the monastery of the Brotherhood of the Holy Spirits. And so is exercising that anxiety by making sure that they are as comfortable as possible. I imagine that they're, some sort of like recumbent position, recovering.
I'd actually imagined, I think that they're still back with the circus, like in good hands, and not on this foray into the city where you sort of had to be on a hot march.
I must have misunderstood. I thought that they were coming.
We can retcon that if you want there.
No, it's fine.
You sure? All right.
Duke's going to be looking for things to bring back to them to make them feel, a little bit better. I would actually imagine he's a very thoughtful gift giver.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. All right. He's a thoughtful gift giver. Then I'll say that you know that Detris loves pickled eggs. And there's definitely some sitting on the bar up there. I do have a question. As Druk is figuring out whether or not he is escorting Detris back to the monastery of the Brotherhood of the Holy Spirits, what is the alternative? Would it be hiring protection for them as opposed to setting them off on the road?
Yeah, I mean, I think it would require Druk entrusting Detris to someone or some people that he trusts. And I think that's up to him to figure out what it looks like. But I think that the only reason he wouldn't go is because he feels like this group has supported him in his search for Detris. And also they're, fighting something potentially catastrophic, it seems like.
Well, maybe it's one of those things where that decision will be made when you see the kind of support that you can get.
Yeah, maybe.
Right? Like if it's straight mercenaries or people that, are just working for gold, maybe you don't trust them. Maybe that changes the calculus. But yeah. If you can get trusted people. Now, I'm wondering, is there a way of reaching out to like a Caden Kalian network, right? I'm thinking of like, leaving a mark, leaving like a mark in the bathroom or something like that. Of like a little sigil or something like that, that would
indicate.
You might
want to wait a while before going in there.
Jesus. But like, is there a way to contact discreetly a network of Caden Kalian, like eyes and ears or supporters or whatever? Or is it like a more formal thing? Would you try to find a place of worship in town, something along those lines?
All right. I mean, this is, I'm sure that really good stuff has been written about this, but I don't imagine Caden Kalian followers as like being necessarily subtle, just based on the tenets of worshiping him. Mm-hmm. I imagine they have like a monastery, and it's the kind of place that has a bar in the lobby. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. almost like a Silicon Valley, whatever, like they're aggressively going for, we're the cool monastery, we're the cool temple,
Do you want to roll a lore, Caden Kalian, to see how familiar you are with the one in Escadar?
Sure. I rolled a natural one.
You rolled a natural one?
Yeah.
You rolled a natural one?
Can I say something very quickly, which is that I actually was going to finish that thought by saying, I actually don't know that he would trust an informal network. I think that he would look for people that he knows.
Okay.
So maybe circus goers, you know, something like that.
Cole, you look like you're brimming with ideas over there.
What if it's upstairs? We're in a bar. We're in the home of the authentic, original Escadacchery.
That's a good point.
Okay. Cole, you're making a really good point. And I like it a lot. So I will generate right now a one-time use hero point for Andrew to re-roll the Caden Kalian lore. And if it hits DC 15 on Caden Kalian lore, he steered y'all to the correct bar.
Okay, rolled a 14 plus 7 is 21.
Woof. It's upstairs.
Yes.
Yes. Easy. So I think that while you guys are doing these scenes downstairs, maybe Druk goes upstairs. Is this something that you would do solo? Would Sven accompany you? Or Ben, do you have something else in mind for yourself right now?
Yeah, Sven actually kind of wanted to take off from the bar for a little bit and just kind of like poke down the street or so. Or maybe if there's any sort of town square, like common gathering place. And just kind of wants to get a read what this town is like in terms of how these people entertain themselves. Like, is it a real gambling town? Is there like a pretty nasty like undercurrent of like crime and stuff? And that's how people, you know, vice and stuff. Maybe like even like if there are street performers or so and there are comedians or whatever, like what are people laughing at? He wants to get like a finger on the pulse for, yeah, what Escadar's people are like.
For sure. So you wander down the street maybe after you have your first bite of tater tots or whatever you ordered at this place. And
my indigestion will never see the end of this.
And we cut over to Druk going up the stairs, you know, maybe behind like a sort of like speakeasy style bookcase door, you know, that like everybody knows about, but is still like kind of fun and cool because it's hidden. So yeah, you go back that way and you head upstairs to what you know is a holy space of Caden Kalian, a bar above a bar.
You know, like the Archbishop is the bartender. You know what I mean? Like, it's mm-hmm. not like yeah. You have to go back to a bunch of doors or whatever, and he's wearing a big old robe. It's like the first dude that you see is the guy.
Yeah, coming out in like a cut off sweatshirt. You know, arms cut off right here. Yeah, just polishing the glass. He goes, "Well, welcome you here.
Hail and well met, father. Sorry, I was a really bad student. My name is Druk. I'm a member of the Brotherhood of the Holy Spirits. I'm here to ask for aid."
"Oh, well, welcome. And of course, aid will be yours. Monsignor Bert is my name, and belly on up to the bar here and tell me about what I can do for you."
"Well, my senior Bert, I..."
I just gave you a hero point that you used earlier. That's retroactive from right now. I knew that this was coming. Great joke.
Great. Yeah. All right.
"What can we do for you?"
"I'm looking to find some folks to help a friend of mine get home to the Brotherhood."
"Oh, absolutely. Now, is this a friend of yours in trouble that they need an escort, or what are we talking here? What are the parameters of this?"
They're a fellow brother. They're recovering and traveling back.
Recovering. Understood. They were hitting the bottle a little too hard. Wouldn't be the first time in this order. Understood.
This case, it seems more like maybe the bottle's hitting them, but the bottle was also like terrible, horrible magic. I don't know. It went over my head, but Leighton seems to understand it. So anyway, can you help?
"Can I help? Of course I can help. Two brothers in need? Of course. Absolutely. You'll be looking for traveling companions for this one, then?"
"I think that would be great. And who better than a fellow follower of Caden?"
"Looking for fellow followers of Caden Kalian. All right, well, this isn't the most devout city to Caden Kalian in the world, but there are some who are devout, and there are others, certainly, who are followers in spirit, if not explicitly in action."
"Well, how about this? I'm staying with the circus, which is right outside the gates."
"Oh, my God! I love the circus!"
Not that circus.
Oh, what the? Well,
the other.
What?
The other one.
There's a new circus?
There's a new circus.
Oh, my God.
I think I have a flyer here.
Get him, Drew.
I'm just going to search for a little, like a flyer, but it's all sweaty and it's like, you know, it was like underneath his chest plate or whatever.
And he takes it out of your hands very quickly and then opens it and unfolds it delicately with all the butt sweat that's on it. He goes,
"This looks right up my alley. I can't tell you how much I love watching people perform under the big top. This is exciting for me. I can tell we're both excited about this."
No, we are, yeah. It's just that my friend's kind of dying and you know, that's...
Oh, I'm they're dying.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're not well.
Slow reveal here. Okay, they're not well and they need to
we're
get
recovering.
Home.
Recovering. What do you think recovering means?
I thought they were an alcoholic.
You know, I can see why you thought that. Okay, I hold my hands up. That's on me.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, okay. So they're recovering from something deadly. Understood. And yes, absolutely. It'll take me some time to put the word out into the network. But I'll do that. I'll certainly do that for you and for the fellow brother. Absolutely.
Thank you.
And yeah, shots? Just, should we do some shots? Or,
shots it seems natural.
Absolutely. And then he pulls out the biggest bottle of Kai Lort you've ever seen and some, like, you know, 2.5 ounce shot glasses and just starts pouring them out for both of you.
I'm going to do a fortitude check. Is that right?
Yeah, fortitude. Yeah, fortitude save.
Yeah. Yep. Here we go. 30.
30.
Wow.
You get hammered off of one shot.
That's the positive outcome.
That's the positive outcome.
Great.
And yeah, you are just toasty after one shot.
Wonderful.
And you just sink down into your bar stool.
That's
and have
great.
A really, really nice chat with Monsignor Bert.
It's the perfect whiskey.
Cutting back out onto the street, we've got Sven wandering down. And you make it to a square, not too far away from the bar where your friends are, where there are some performers, there are some tumblers, et cetera, et cetera. Why don't you give, what would you like to roll here? I'm thinking maybe something social, diplomacy, or do you want to roll some kind of knowledge or lore about the city or
Sven wants good? To go up to these performers that are doing their act. What kind of act? Yeah, what kind of act is it that you said they're doing?
It's tumbling. And and Ben, we are going to tie this to a roll.
Yeah.
And I want to know what that roll is now.
I mean, honestly, it's probably going to be a bit of a performance check myself.
I'm with that. Now, Ben, I want you to roll that performance check, and I don't want you to tell anybody what that number is.
Okay? Okay. Ben sidles up to the performance where the crowd is watching.
Yeah, and it's like, it's one of those, like, those acrobatics acts where, like, there's, you know, somebody lying on their back with their feet in the air, and somebody sits down on their feet, and then they just start getting, like, flipped and spun around in circles and circles and circles and circles and circles and, like, other, and then, like, jumps up, and then their feet land on the person on the ground's feet, and then they get thrown up in the air, and then they, like, do two flips, and then they land back down on the feet. It's that kind of thing. So you wait for a break in their act. They're catching their breath, and you go up to them.
Well, he doesn't wait for a break in the act.
Okay.
even though this is ultimately impressive to Sven, Sven sidles up and starts, like, disking, like, muttering under his breath, and frankly to his, like, the people to his shoulders, "It is an amateurish move. He's dangerous the way he's doing that. He's going to fail."
The person next to you says, "You think this is really, I mean, like, it is, it's dangerous, but, like, is he doing it poorly? Like, I thought we were watching a good thing."
"That's the thing. If it's done safely, it shouldn't actually look dangerous. It should look so effortless that, you know, you're not actually concerned for the performers. But right now, you can see my hand here. It is clenched in fear, no?" Mm-hmm. "You see how white my knuckles are?"
Okay. Let's roll. So you're doing this. You're sort of seeding this around. Do you want to do like maybe a diplomacy about like getting like about convincing people that this is the case, or maybe an intimidation check? where you're not like intimidating the person, but you're kind of freaking them out. I could stretch that just a little bit, but I mean, really, I think this would be diplomacy.
You're not intimidating, you're just kind of freaking them out.
I mean, am I right? Am I wrong? This isn't intimidation. It's just like, you're just like kind of making them nervous.
I think diplomacy.
All right, diplomacy.
Okay. No, I mean, frankly, it's too bad that this is, you know, the only thing you can get here in town. No, mm-hmm. You know, you, frankly, one stranger to another, you deserve finer entertainment.
Okay. I thought you wanted to go out and gather information. You just had to go out there and shit talk and pump the circus? All right, let's see it. Yeah, let's see it. What's that role? What's that Diplo role?
It's not even the circus. It's just some random entertainers on the street.
You're just bashing them. 17 on the diplomacy. That's enough to convince this person that is watching the street act that it's actually pretty unsafe. And they just are like, oh, that's too bad. I was enjoying this and now I know too much and I don't like it anymore.
It's not too late to be able to take away. Your tip from the open guitar case. You can go up there and go ahead and grab it.
No, they're like, I don't even. Oh, they encourage them to go. No, I'm not going to get my money back from them. That seems really shitty.
Money back for an unsafe performance.
But now that I know that that's actually acceptable, maybe I'll do it next time. So thank you. I appreciate the new info.
Just spread the word. You know that these are hucksters. No, you know you deserve more. And
hucksters. I've been saying that word wrong for a long time. I thought it was buskers. My bad. Okay, understood. So they walk away, and you've really taken the air out of this performance. Then it ends, and they're like,
What the fuck, dude? Like, it was like pretty messed up. Like, we don't have a lot right now. We just got licensed by the city, and
it shows.
Whatever, man. We're trying out here. Look, is there room for improvement? Sure, but like that was like fucking mean. What
steps
gives?
Up to this performance? Looks shit. Down upon him.
And he's a gymnast, so he started doing this young. He's like, he's not that tall.
Yeah, he's a child. That's fine. So it stacks up to this child performer.
This is your final warning to move this show on the road. Do you hear me? The gig is up. Come next week, there will be a new show in town, okay? You will not have to worry about any audience, you know, being stolen from you, because you will not even be competing with us. You will be far, far away.
I don't know what your problem is, dude, but he like reaches into his like pouch and he pulls out like an official document. He says, we are not going anywhere. We earned this. We earned this permit to perform on this corner.
Ben just snatches that.
No, give that back. Give it back. What's going on? Stop it. Stop.
Oh here. My God.
Is your permit there? You can perhaps go and apply for another, no? If you need to, but you can apply for one in another town.
Oh, it's our only copy. I mean, we're on the books, but it's going to cost us like 5 silver pieces to get another one of those made. We can't, I mean, like,
oh, well,
you
surely
copies
you've got that in
time.
Your guitar case over there. And as he sees it, people are reaching in to like take all their tips back from the guitar case.
No, they feel bad and they're giving him more money. Funny guy. Could have gone to the circus.
We're starting okay. A circus and Sven is starting a mafia.
So Sven, what was on the die there?
Godfather 2.
What was on the die there for the old performance check?
14.
14? 14, alright.
So
all
when
right.
Does Sven get arrested?
Yeah, so the dude does start looking around for uniformed officer who he sees, because this is a pretty and flags down the officer and starts pointing at you, Sven, and the officer starts approaching you.
Yes, hello, officer.
No.
So I heard that you were bullying this performer here.
Yes, well, bullying is one way to put it.
Bullying is one way to put it, huh? And you destroyed his licensure?
And he, like, sees the ripped up paper on the ground?
Yes. Yes, I did. That was because this license was unduly issued.
No, you don't get to make those decisions. You're not the person who decides whether or not a license is duly or unduly officiated. You don't know nothing here, buddy. Who do you think you are?
Someone who is misled by their advertising here. Now, notice the sign.
There's no advertising.
Here.
You just came in and started shit-talking from what I hear.
And then there's somebody who goes, yeah, that's exactly what they did.
Exactly. But that's this letterboard here. It says death-defying feats.
Listen, buddy. I'm about to go on my lunch. I don't care what that sign says. And if, according to you, they were doing as poorly as they were doing, then this was even more death-defying than I think that they were claiming. Point being, I don't want to see your mug again. I don't want to see you harassing nobody. You're getting off with a warning right now because I'm hungry. But if this happens again, your head's going to be bouncing off the concrete.
It's very good. It would be like the performers, too. Their heads are also nearly bouncing off the concrete. No, I thank you for your time, and I hope you enjoy your sandwich.
Just start a little clock over here. Sven talks his way into jail. I wonder how full that is.
Welcome to the next 7 episodes.
How many segments it has. So that happened outside, and I think that's pretty much everybody. Now, harking back to the original information gathering, you know where to go, and you know that you want to talk to Andera Paldreen, the chief constable.
Maybe we should leave Sven on the boat.
Yes, perhaps I sit outside for this one.
You know where to find those offices. Once again, they are in Conclave Square, which you are very close to. So once everybody wraps up their activities, you get a slightly tipsy Druk down from upstairs. Amazingly, once he leaves the grounds of Caden Kaelin's temple, he sobers up very quickly. And you proceed over to the police station.
But still hungover?
Not with a fortitude save like that. Oh, okay. He's feeling perfect.
Feeling perfect.
Druk is good to drive, yeah. Fine.
You find the offices that you're looking for of the city guard, city watch. And you inquire after a meeting with Andera Paldreen. And Rudy, why don't you roll a d6 for me?
It's a 6.
The attendant is like, it is going to take 6 hours for something to open up.
I thought you said these people were good. Whispers that to the professor.
Good, but not efficient, apparently. Now, what's your name?
My name?
Yes, your name.
They call me Ice. No, they don't, Daryl.
His name is Daryl.
Okay. Well, anyway, Daryl, I think it'd be most pertinent if we are allowed to get in to see your chief a bit sooner than that. You see, he pulls Daryl. Yeah, and says, you may not know this, but I am, in fact, Professor Vitae Veritas, Conjurer Extraordinaire, Doctor of Magic, etc., etc., and it is deathly important that we speak to her, my assistant Rutherford.
There's really just not a lot I can...
I'm afraid that this is not the time for dilly-dallying, Daryl. There's a great and important undertaking that must be done in this city, and we must speak to her immediately.
Glazed over.
Do not... I'm sorry?
Glazed over.
Even with a deception check?
Sure,
is the bureaucracy that strong here?
No, okay.
Holy cow.
You rolled the die.
Hey, man, I've been to Cook County. Jesus Christ. All right.
Yeah. Make your case.
That's okay, Sam. Now, if you don't allow us in, I cannot say for what you will be held responsible and how you will be punished or if this will affect your pension.
Not my pension.
How many years do you have on the job, Daryl?
Oh, well, from the beginning?
Yes.
10.
Ooh, doesn't sound like much seniority to me. It sounds like...
That's why
like
I'm working
the
desk!
Yes, that seems like we could really eat away at this thing if we don't see her. Now, I suggest you announce this immediately, my card.
Thank you. All right, and you want to roll that dice?
Sure. Oh, fuck. It's a 19 on the die.
What a piece of work.
That is a 32.
That is a critical success. He's like, all right. My pension, you say? All right, well, I...
Every second we wait is another 10 hours off your pension.
Well, she's in there with someone right now.
Layton is going to step up and say, appointment. Well, as you might actually see here, it's entirely possible that if you weren't to help us and a dire situation were to occur, you would ultimately be held legally responsible for those outcomes.
Oh, gosh, I don't want to be held legally responsible for those outcomes. All right.
You must at least inform her of our presence or else you would be. You don't have to interrupt the meeting if it's not dire.
All right. Sure. Hold on a second.
Quickly, man, quickly.
Derricus, and much taller guard.
Derricus? Oh my god.
He is very big.
Like Greek god shoulders. Just like the biggest. Derricus the Great. Mm-hmm.
All of the doors are shaped like him.
Yes, all of this is true. Yeah, so an enormous 7-foot Aaron Judge walks over, and he says, what do you need, Daryl?
And he goes, oh, man, thanks for coming over. Look, D-brothers, and Derek is like, I
need you to stop saying D-brothers about it. It doesn't.
Oh my god.
Low-hanging fruit.
Sam. Oh, god. Jeez Louise. He can't use anything.
Derricus, these people need to get in to see Chief Constable Peltrine. Okay, look, they got to do it. Our pensions are on the line here, man. Okay, I need you to get them in there.
And Derricus turns around and says, may I ask what this is regarding?
Oh, me. Yes, well, I don't suppose I need to introduce myself, but I'm happy to do again. Professor Vitae Veritas, Conjurer Extraordinaire, Doctor of Magic, etc., etc., my card. My assistant Rutherford and...
Layton.
Sven, Andruk, and Eugene.
Andruk,
I'm Eugene.
Claude's outside.
It is nice to meet all of you. Yes. My name is Officer Derricus Stollett.
Officer Derricus Stollett, stalwart as the mighty oaks, I would say.
Certainly. Can I tell Chief Constable Peltrine,
yes,
when I interrupt the meeting that she is currently in,
yes,
what this is regarding?
Certainly. Just tell her that Professor Vitae Veritas is here, along with his companions, and we request an audience. She'll know who it is.
You think that she will know who it is when I go back there?
Well, if alone. She's forgotten, then this is going to be terribly embarrassing for her.
Just to be clear about what is going to happen in the next minute or two, I am going to walk back to Chief Constable's office, knock on the door to interrupt a meeting.
Yes.
I am then going to say, Professor Vitae Veritas,
Professor Conjurer of Magic, Conjurer Extraordinaire, etc.,
is out front.
Yeah.
Surely you remember him. To which Chief Constable Peltrine will say, oh, yes, I do. Certainly bring him in.
Well,
there is no other information you would like me to convey.
Yes. Derricus, you have such a way with words. A monument to the force.
Big
which
guy.
You serve.
I just like calling him big guy.
Daryl, please.
Yes. Inform her that we are requesting an audience and shouldn't take up too much of her time, but it is urgent and, frankly, it's on a need-to-know basis, Derricus. Not...
How deep does this go?
24 hours.
I can't
town.
Wait until I'm someone who needs to know.
All right. All right. There is nothing about this that I can know to relate. I'll just go tell her once again that it is you, the professor, and she will know who that is.
Derricus,
she can't know either.
What are you doing?
All right. I'm walking away now, and I'm going to tell her very little because I know almost nothing.
No one does your job better than you, Derricus.
Thank you very much, Daryl. Looks at Daryl like, you jag off. And he returns a moment or two later and he says, there wasn't a look of recognition at your name.
I thought that might be the case, Dericus, and I confess this is terribly embarrassing for you, and I apologize for having to put you in that situation. No, 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 Dericus, no need to apologize to me.
All right,
I suppose that
it.
I must...
And then this goes on for the next 6 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So, no, you do bump yourselves up in the queue a little bit. That critical success earlier did pay off. It didn't end in a direct dead wall. But yeah, it takes some going back and forth with him. And he eventually goes back and says, we are able to squeeze you in. She's just finishing up a meeting now. Come with me. And
thank goodness, someone else do the talking.
Chief Constable Paldreen is indeed ready to see you, and thank you for your patience and some entertainment on an otherwise dull day. You been in town long? And he starts walking you back towards the office.
We have another fan.
So Dericus opens the door to a circular office paneled with rich brown wood. There's a writing desk and shelves stacked with records and a row of chairs near the door, clearly for visitors, petitioners, and the like. A painting of a bird of prey in flight hangs behind the desk. Seated at the desk is a small, muscular human woman who looks a bit like Melissa Etheridge in the early 90s. Her golden badge of office is pinned to her left shoulder and depicts another bird of prey grasping a fish in its talons. Sitting across from her is a human man in a too bright doublet with a gaudy, bejeweled rapier on his hip. He looks like John Astin as the original Gomez Adams, but less charming and more wheedling and smarmy. As the door opens, her eyes flick to it immediately, and she holds up a hand to interrupt the man across the table from her, and says, thank you, Delamar, for bringing this issue to my attention. If that is all, my next appointment is here, and you may remain. Please, come in. And she invites you in. You all enter the room. Dericus follows you and stands behind her at her desk. What do you all say?
Rudy, you've been the face so far.
Well, thank you for giving us an audience, Chief Constable. We won't take up too much of your time, as I am sure Dericus introduced me. I am Professor Vitae Veritas, Conjurer Extraordinaire, Doctor of Edge, etc.
Yes. I have heard your name, not for the first time today. And she nods with her head at the person across the desk from her, who turns and looks at you and goes, yes, these are the rapscallions that I was talking about. And she says, gentlemen, please, get to the point. What can I do for you?
The matter is a simple one. We would like to perform our circus here in your town. I can guarantee you that your people will be entertained, that it will remain a safe place, and we will keep the noise down after 11. What must we do to apply for a permit?
Well, it is interesting that you say these things. A safe place. For I have heard some rather untoward stories about your circus thus far. Your performing troupe, and I'm not sure it is the kind of environment we want to encourage here in Escadar. And the guy across from me goes, yes, exactly, this is exactly what I'm talking about.
Who is that?
I am a representative from the illustrious Mistress Dusklight's Celestial Menagerie. And I have been warning the good law enforcement officers here about the kind of shady dealings that second-class performers such as yourselves can get into, and the kind of people you invite, and the events that follow your every footstep.
Leighton unclips to interrupt and lets his books drop to the ground in a stack 4 feet high, looks at this guy, and is like,
your name and credential, please.
My name is Delamar Gavin, concerned citizen. And here we are going to hold, because we are about to get into a social situation with very specific rules. And I would like to ask all of you
to roll for initiative using either your deception or diplomacy school skills. So the way that this is going to work, the administrator basically has five resistance points, five hit points, if you will. As you present arguments or do other creative things to convince her that your circus should be allowed here, those will go down. Once around, Delamar is going to rebut, basically, and, you know, do his best to convince the constable that you do not belong here. Based on the success of his attempts, his rolls, that number will go up. And it is round one. We've got Andruk leading us off at 25, the professor at 23, Eugene at 21, Layton and Delamar Gianvin at 16. Bad guy will go first. Now, there are a few different things that you can do. You can directly try to sway Andera, in which case you make a diplomacy, deception, or relevant lore check to convince Andera to allow y'all to be there. You can attempt to support an argument. You attempt to bolster someone else by using a skill that you think will help them. It doesn't have to be the same skill that they are using when you try to bolster them. You can attempt to demonstrate talents, showing how dope your circus is. In a given round, you only want a single performance attempt. It's just not a very big space. And then you can also try to discredit your discreditor, calling into a negative light Dalimar or the Celestial Menagerie. Those are sort of the options for your buckets there. The discrediting Dalimar is going to be a circus lore or society check. Demonstrating talents would be a performance check. Supporting an argument, you know, diplomacy, deception, or a relevant lore skill. And the same goes for swaying Andera. Makes sense? We're going to get this exactly right the first time. No worries. Andruk, you're up. What do you want to do?
Yeah. Constable? Are you my senior too? I'm confused about this.
You can just refer to me as Chief Constable Paldreen. Now, please tell me, why should I allow this circus to perform in this city?
Well, let me tell you, my guy Layton, he knows mad laws, okay? My boy has got him, so I'm gonna let him handle it, but he knows them, all of them.
Great, so this sounds like a support and argument. Yep. And what are you going to roll?
Diplomacy.
You're going to roll diplomacy? All right.
12 total. 12. Not a good roll.
Well, I'm glad to hear that your friend Layton is so well educated, as it may be. Please, this is just a waste of my time here. Professor, you're up.
Well, what's your name again, sir? Person who's arguing against our being here?
My name is Delamar Gianvin.
I also will defer to Layton, to our legal beagle, so to speak, to lay out the actual rules and regulations that apply here. But I would just, Chief Constable, I would just like to point out that the fellow sitting here, the young fellow sitting here, representing Mistress Dusklight's menagerie, I just want to talk about poor behavior, and perhaps one might not want to look too closely at the animal and human rights violations occurring in their circus. I know that there's more than one person here in our party that perhaps might have poor memories of the way they were treated as former employees. Employees? Nay, more like freaks to be paraded around jabbering hordes for pennies if they were paid anything at all. My friend here, Layton, one of the smartest, most intelligent, most kind and giving characters I have ever met, was treated like an animal, no greater than a beast. No offense to animals, Eugene, but I can tell you that animals had no truck at Madame Dusklight's circus, and I'm sure that more than one lion or elephant prays to be released from its pen to get its trunk and claws around the throat of Madame Dusklight. These people are the true scourge on your town, Chief Constable, not us.
Excellent. So it sounds like you're trying to discredit Delamar or the Celestial Menagerie.
Yeah.
That's excellent. The checks called for here are circus lore or society.
That's a shame, because I don't have circus lore and I don't have society.
All right. Well, I tell you what. For this one, I will let you operate as trained in circus lore because you're talking about something that you are so familiar with.
So I'm rolling at a +8, fellows.
No.
He's got his hands on his head, folks.
It's not looking good over here.
It's a 19 on the die. That is a 27 for circus lore. Thank you, Sam, for letting me take that.
Absolutely, absolutely. I didn't think that you may have heard it when I realized what you were doing.
Holy cow.
Yeah, so a 27 is definitely a success. And what this is going to do, it puts Delamar on the defensive. And the next time he rolls, he is going to take a result one worse than he normally would. All right, so that is the professor's turn. And we will recall that for Delamar. I do like that. I think that's fun. And Eugene, you're up. What are you going to do?
He's just going to talk a little. Eugene's going to be like, well, I second everything that the professor said. I'd like to reiterate that at our circus, we treat animals with only the utmost respect. You can ask my friend Oscar. He's a bear, and I think he's quite happy. But the only question I think you really need to ask yourself is what you're going to gain from us. Because in Aberton, we started just as a circus, and we ended up saving the mayor's life. Forget the entertainment aspect. We were essentially a personal security system for that town. So entertainment or not, I'd just love to know, how many times has Delamar Gianvin saved your life?
Excellent, excellent.
And I'd like to roll diplomacy.
Yeah, you'd like to roll diplomacy? Absolutely. Give me that.
It's an 11 on the die for 22.
22 is nice. A success, nice. And you remove one resistance point from Andera Paldrine. Next up is Delamar Gianvin, and on his turn, he says,
now this is a good question, Chief Constable Paldrine, but the this is a good point. A spin, if you will. But the thing that I would ask is, why was the town in danger in the first place? Was it dangers that this circus themselves brought in? Is this not a circus whose ringmaster died before their very first performance?
And he is going to roll his diplomacy check.
Mm-hmm.
That is the second natural 2 that I have rolled. And Andera Paldrine.
Critical failure?
The first one, not a critical failure.
With the down one, though? The down one from Rudy.
Oh, dear! It is! It's a critical it's a critical failure on a fucking natural 2! Yeah, because that's a failure, and it goes down one. And, oh, that is a bummer on a... on a critical failure, his poor... Oh, god damn it. It removes a resistance point. So he's like... She's like, the tragedy of their ringmaster's passing cannot possibly be blamed on them. And it sounds like they did a lot of good in that town. Leighton, you're up.
Leighton, this entire time, has been leafing through 4 feet of books, pulling out paperwork. And every single time someone was like, Leighton will do the law, he's like, thank you.
Thank you, I will.
full SRG mode right there. Just like, yeah, like furiously going through.
Yes, and coming up with, I hope, as brilliant of an answer as Sarah Rebecca would have in this moment. He channels his inner Sarge and says, but it is more than simply entertainment, and it is more than simply the way that we treat people, and it is more than simply the way that we look out for those around us. It is also the way that we hold true to our word in every instance, unlike them. Now, before me, I have a series of contracts that you will see were signed originally by Madame Dusklight. This is the totality of the contractual work that I completed for her during my time there. And he sets them next to her. And these are the accounts and records, as well as legal statistics of our currently operating circus. He sets them down. I will explain. And he goes into, like, the briefest he can Dewey Decimal set of... Basically, what you're seeing here is that they consistently underpay their labor... They consistently break contract when things go wrong, and they consistently attempt to drive out alternative acts. Quick peek at Sven. In our case,
In our case, we are awesome.
Yeah. We do the opposite. He's going to roll.
Is that lore legal?
The thing, like, lore legal wasn't one of the ones, right?
And No. Or a relevant lore skill.
Great. I thought it was a society only thing that I was looking
at. No, that's discrediting the Celestial Mana. Are you trying to sway Andera?
I'm trying to sway Andera.
Yeah, that's what I heard. And you can use a relevant lore skill for that.
Great. Society's higher, but lore is true. I'm going to use a hero point to reroll that.
All right.
Lore might not be true. Natural 20.
Oh!
That is going to be a 30 total.
30 total? I mean, natural 20 is a critical success. Automatically, as they say, that removes 2 resistance points. Y'all are doing well. You could do it. Unfortunately, Svend is up next. We'll see if he just takes a swing at the chief constable. Svend, you're up.
Svend, this whole time, his hands behind his back, just strolled over to the window that overlooks the city square.
Fuck.
Now, if you would direct your attention outside of the window here upon this so-called bustling city square, you see what I see. This homogeneous crowd of little people going about their lives looking for excitement. You know what I do not see? Anything in this square offering that excitement. Now, I am not here to discredit this other circus, for I am of the mindset that this town is in bad need of culture, of life, of variety. And so, I see no reason that we should not be allowed to perform for you. For look, the city, it is quiet.
Rolling diplomacy on this.
Rolling diplomacy to sway Andera. All right, yep. All right.
Go, that's an 18 on the die.
Let's go, man.
For 19 total.
Well, which makes sense, right? Because word would have gotten back there by now.
So, I will say this. Because of the content of your argument, you lowered the DC. And 19 is a success.
Let's go.
You have lowered Andera Paldreen's resistance by 1. We're back to the top of the order. And I can't wait to see what Andruk has in store.
Druk is so excited about what's going on. I think he's going to take on...
He's having a really nice time right now.
I'm enjoying it. He's going to take out his bow, and it's going to be super jarring to everyone. And he's going to try to support the argument by saying, look what we can do. He's going to take a shot at the fucking constable. Obviously aiming to miss them very closely, but... Oh, yeah.
So you put the chief constable into a live shooter situation.
Just a reminder, it's harder to miss than it is
this
to
really
hit.
Helping us beat that. We're in danger.
It'll be fine.
How many hero points you got there, Wilt?
Gonna use that hero point.
This trick gets the injury trade.
No.
How does a 22 sound?
Ooh.
A 22. I think it's probably the speed with which you pull it off your back and fire, because a 22 removes the last resistance point.
Hell yeah.
And it turns out that Andera Paldreen really loves trick shots, and the arrow embedded in her chair right above her head is like, whoa! I love the circus.
Derekus is fucking pissed.
And Derek is like, oh my god, you're all right? You're all right? Sorry, that happened so fast. I wish I'd... But, all right, you seem pleased.
It's okay, Derekus. Stay in the doorway.
And Delamar is like,
But you must understand that these are charlatans. They have nothing they cannot... And she's like,
pipe down, Delamar. It just sounds like some healthy competition for Mistress Dusklight. I say that, yes, you can perform in town. And we will cut you a preferred rate. All entertainment companies in the city are required to pay the city 5% of their earnings as a task. And we'll say that you have up to 2 weeks to set up your circus. Now, normally we only allow one, but I understand the magnitude of your circus and it may be some expansion. And honestly, where we have room for you is a little bit overgrown. And she gives you directions and she lays out a map and points to a large field outside of town and explains that it's a little overgrown and a little wild around the edges, but there is plenty of space here and there is a road that leads directly from town to it.
Wonderful. I believe that we can make do with this. Eugene is a specialist in making wild spaces wonderful for everyone who visits.
Excellent. Excellent, excellent. If that is all, gentlemen, I will say good day.
There was one more thing. There's a gentleman outside who goes by the name of Ice. I'd just like to say that I think he's doing a bang-up job, and you could maybe give him a raise.
I will instead consider giving him a break for introducing himself once again as Ice. But I will take that into consideration, and I appreciate the positive feedback. And you all can leave Conclave Square knowing that you have secured a space, a contract, and the permits required to run your circus.
Yay!
Woo!
Tight. Killed the first episode of that logistics arc. Hell yes.
Right. And we'll see what happens next week.
absolutely crushed it, crushed it, crushed it.
Take me right back to high school policy debate, baby. Got my flowchart down here and everything.
Two RP sessions in a row, and I am loving it.
Me too.
We'll roll some more dice next time. All right. See ya.
I'm stuck.